It's my pleasure to be here again before you this morning for the last time. Not ever, hopefully. We'll see how the month goes. But I want to thank so many of you for coming out on such an auspicious holiday as today. And of course, I mean Reformation Day. Some of you all were already halfway through an email day. We're going to be in Romans chapter 10 this morning. We are also very excited. We're going to get to hear from our sent out partners a little later in the service, just setting that up in Romans 10 today. This is a passage of scripture that we may have heard before, but we're going to look at it a little differently today and have some fun with science since we have kids in the audience today with family worship. Romans 10 verse 8 says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So a couple of things in those verses there that you may see. One thing is, Paul starts by saying, the word is near you. What does that mean, the word is near you? Well, it's very clear from what he says there, the word of faith that we proclaim. This is the gospel. The gospel message is near to us as believers. And we know that in Lufkin, we've spent the last few weeks talking about, in Lufkin, we have strategic partners that we partner with for gospel, just as John Carswell just so clearly said, the number one need is the spiritual need. But there are physical needs here in Lufkin, in Texas. And last week we got to hear from Keith and Paige Weezer and talking about the Northwest, where they're planting churches with a view of even extending that internationally. There is a need that is physical, but there is a deeper need that is spiritual. And Paul is saying the word of that we proclaim, the word of faith that we proclaim is close. The gospel is near to us, right? And so we know, and he tells us what that means. If you're in this room and you are a believer, you have done what he's talking about here. He says two things: that we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And so you see there in your LifePoint outline at the very top, it says we are saved by confessing and believing. And if we do these two things, we are guaranteed salvation. If you have done that today, if you have confessed that Jesus is Lord, not just a good teacher, not just a great prophet, as other religions would be okay with calling him, but Lord of your life. And if you have believed that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is a guaranteed fact. God says, if you have done these two things, you will be saved. Now, you've probably seen these jars that we have around here, and we're going to talk a little bit more about those today. This jar represents us, but it doesn't represent us as we currently are. It represents us as God created us to be, without sin, perfect. Now, I'm making my wife really nervous right now. I've got on nice clothes and I'm holding iodine, so it'll be all right, I hope. So we are born into this world. When God created the world, when he created the garden, he created it perfect, without sin. God said it was good. And when God says something is good, it's perfect. It doesn't have any blemish. But that didn't last long. We get three chapters of Genesis and we ruin it with sin. And if you're anything like me, you don't just sin a little bit. You sin a lot, right? It doesn't take long before your sin ruins what was a perfectly good bottle of water. That looks like tea, but it's not, and I would strongly urge you not to drink that. But we have a God who cares for us. Now, this is how we are different from every other religion in the world. Every other religion says, you're stained. Do something about it yourself, right? A God who doesn't come near to us, but expects us to come near to him. If you want me, be good enough. Clean yourself up. We can't. That's why we have the gospel of Jesus. I'm going to do this and hope for the best. When Jesus comes into our life, he does the work that we cannot do. That'll take a second. Sometimes the gospel takes a little while, but it will. Sometimes you have to have a few. Sometimes you have to have a few shares before the gospel clears your life up. But it does work, right? And we know that the gospel does the work. We cannot do that ourselves, right? Every other religion says, do it. You do this and God will love you for a little while. And then you have to do more, right? Our gospel says there's nothing you can do. You have to trust in what has already been done for you on the cross, right? And so when Paul says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all there is to it. It is as simple as trusting that Jesus has done what you cannot do. But Paul tells us the gospel is near us. And you see in your life point outline, Paul tells us the gospel is near us, but the reality is it is not near everyone currently, right? If we look at the continuing in Romans, it says, how will they call on whom they have not known? Let me pull it up. It's not in my notes for some reason. So sorry. Technical difficulty. I was so worried that this wasn't going to work that I didn't check my notes this morning and make sure that I had everything in here that I needed. Romans 10, and we left off in verse 13. But in 14 it says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. There are many in our world who have not heard this precious gospel. They have no hope. And so you see the vases that we have around the stage. Some of them, like down here, they represent groups. These are groups that have no gospel, so they are stained with sin. There's no one among them to share the gospel. Here you see places where there's a lost person, but there's a Christian, right? And so we want to understand the difference between two key terms, lost and unreached. Lost is a person who is in sin but could find someone to share with them the gospel. There is someone around them. Now, how many of you here this morning would consider yourself unreached? Nobody raised their hand. That's good. We're learning, right? Because when we have someone around them, you have someone who at least has invited you. You may not be a Christian. You may not believe in this God who does this work in your life. But you have someone who cares enough about you to invite you to come today and to hear the gospel. And even those who aren't here today, who are in Lufkin or in the Northwest, in the United States, we would consider America a lost country, right? It is not saved. We are not clean, all of us. I hope that that will be the case, but America is not unreached. There's a difference. There are places in the world. We call them the 1040. There, most of them fall in the 1040 window between 10 degrees and 40 degrees latitude, where the gospel has not gone. There are no clear believers among the people. And that percentage, and you have this in your LifePoint outline, is 29%. So that means that if every believer in the world today, and you have this in your LifePoint outline, if every believer shared with every person that they know, we're talking family, we're talking neighbor, coworker, if every believer shared with every person they know, 29% of the world would still have never heard because there's no one to tell them. Unreached means no access to the gospel. If they wanted to believe in something other than the religion that is native to them, they would have no way to hear of that hope, no access to the gospel. That's something that's hard for me to understand because I had the fortune of growing up in America where I can find a Bible if I want one. I can open up my phone or my iPad and have access to a Bible in my language. But that's not the case for 29% of the world. That's more than one in four people in the world that if they wanted to go to God, to have a relationship with God that is restored, they wouldn't know how to do that. That's what God is calling and what Paul is calling us to do when he says, how will they call on one whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching? And how will someone preach if they're not sent? So we have to send. But the insight there on the other side of your outline is there is a great difference between the term lost and unreached. And our resources must reflect our priorities. And so our partners who we choose to partner with at Harmony Hill, like Compassion International, like Resonate Church, and the many strategic partners that we have locally, all place an emphasis on spiritual care, on needing to get the gospel to people. That's what changes lives forever. Physical needs are met. Jesus cares about physical needs. He looks on people when in need and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd, Matthew tells us. But what they need most is gospel transformation. They need lives that have been poured into with the gospel. And we have to send. There in your LifePoint outline again, you see so many are still waiting for the gospel. Who will go to them? For these unreached people group, like this group here, someone who has had the gospel poured into them must go to the unreached and pour their lives into the life of an unreached person. And when that unreached person has been affected by the life of that believer and been poured into, only then can the gospel transformation of that person in that people group go on to reach a people group. And that people group can go to other people groups. We cannot be okay that there are people in our world who have no access, no way to turn from their sin and to have a restored relationship for God. That has to be something that we cannot tolerate. And so I put a little quote from a man named Carl F.H. Henry, and he said, "The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time." Gospel means good news, but the gospel is only good news if people hear it, if unreached people, the 29%, the one in four in our world today, one in four, almost one in three who have no access to the gospel. But we're very blessed to be able to partner with two sent out ones who are here from Harmony Hill who have gone to unreached places in the world. You are familiar with the way we have things set up here. We have advocacy teams. So there's a team. One is led by Bruce Robinson for our family in the Horn, and there are other people on that team, and they will be in the back after the service that you can talk more about them. They can talk more openly than we can from the stage just because of security, so you can ask them about that. The other is from the Greens, Aaron and Chris Kristen Green, and they represent our family in Southeast Asia. And so they will both have tables in the back there with John Carswell, who will be there for Compassion. I really encourage you guys to interact with them, to learn more. That's how we can keep you updated best, because we can't always do videos like this. But when we can, it's a great blessing to be able to do that. I wish we could do that for our online watchers as well, but it's just not possible. But that last blank that you see on your Life Point outline says, we were once the unreached, but God included us in his plan for salvation and sent his word to us. Maybe we have some Jewish people in the audience today. I'm guessing probably not. But there was a time when we were the unreached. We were a group who had not heard the gospel. But praise be to God that he included us from the beginning of time in his plan to bring the gospel, to clear our lives of the sin that has ruined and wrecked so many families and so many lives. But he included us in his plan. He came to us. We worship a God who came in the flesh, incarnate. We celebrate that as Christmas is coming. We are called to be an incarnate witness to unreached peoples, to the 29% in our world who have still not heard this gospel message. They desperately need us to go. And so the other thing that we have, and it's in the preschool area, I did that by design so that you would have to go back into the preschool area and interact with the iPads we've set up where you can pray for these two families that you have just heard. I would encourage you, go back there, get on the iPad, video yourself. You can even turn the video around if you don't want to be on video, but pray for our sent out ones so that we can send that to them to be an encouragement, that they can know as they go and represent Christ first and foremost, but also Harmony Hill in some of the darkest unreached places among people groups that are coming to know the hope of the gospel, that you could pray for them. But back there when you go, there is a flyer, and it has the trips that we have planned so far for 2022. So a lot of those trips are in the United States because the pandemic is not totally lifted yet. There are many places like Honduras that we can't go to yet. We hope that will change, maybe even in the coming year. But for now, we have 5 trips planned for 2022. Some of those are in Houston, others are to the Northwest to work with Resonate Church. One is to the Horn of Africa. We hope that you will join us on those trips. And so go back into the preschool area, grab one of those trips, flyers, and join us to be able to bring the gospel in person, to work alongside others who are going into unreached people groups. I pray that that would be the case for you. And so I want to pray for us, and then I think we have a baptism that'll be coming after that prayer. So thank you for being here this morning. Father, I thank you that you are a God who loves. You are a God who desperately wants relationship with those who you've created. You're not like so many other small g gods that are worshipped even now in other countries and other people groups, but that you are a God who came near. You sent your son to do what we could not do. And so as we get to celebrate now in a baptism of someone who has gone from death to life, we thank you that you are a God who saves and a God who we can call our sovereign Lord. And so I thank you for that privilege. I pray that it would be a privilege that we can be a part of extending to those who still have not heard. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.